Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to the first 2021 edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're excited about a new year, particularly after 2020. We're glad to be in a brand new year and get the year started off here again, not from our usual home in Renaissance Bank, but we're looking forward to getting back there as things continue to hopefully improve. But in the meantime, folks, during the holidays, a new PPP loan program got approved. And what that means is, yep, we're going to go through it again. And if you want a bank that is on top of it and working for their business customers and doing it in a personal way, Renaissance Bank is the place to go check out. And I know that personally from what they did last year in 2020. So if you're looking for a more personal experience, my suggestion is go to renaissancebank.com. Find the local branch that is nearest you. They've got some 200 across the South ready to serve you, and give them a call. And they'll actually answer the phone in that branch as opposed to some call center off, you know, eight states away and at three time zones away. So it's a different way of doing business for a bank that size. But yet they're big enough to be able to handle just about anything you can throw at them. RenaissanceBank.com is the website, and I endorse them, and I do that because I know personally how they work with clients I have. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Matthew Wagner. Matthew is with Schooley Mitchell. Matt, welcome.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be the first one of the new year.
Yeah, it's I think this is a good sign, right? I mean, it's nice, fresh beginning to the year, and it's a pleasure having you. And go to it. Tell us how you serve folks out there, Matthew.
Sure. I'll just kind of keep it brief here initially, but my name is Matthew Wagner with Schooley Mitchell, and we are the largest independent cost reduction consulting firm in North America. You know, we see a lot of our clients right now, they're struggling to grow their top line revenues. And what we do is we improve their bottom line by lowering the cost of the services that aren't adding value. So our clients typically save upwards of 25% on things like telecom, merchant services, small package shipping, waste removal, and e-signature services. So that's really the core of our business. We help other businesses get more profitable.
A timely point, really any time, but certainly at the beginning of the year, folks are looking to get off to a fresh start. Let's talk about how you do what you do. I mean, lots of folks out there talking about, trying to lower cost.
Yeah.
And some of them are broker vendor representatives. Mm-hmm. Does that describe you, or talk about that?
So my job has been described by some as being sort of a Robin Hood for businesses, which basically means that I recover the money that businesses are overpaying to their service vendors, and I give it back to them. And on average, I save my clients about 28%. Versus their current baseline. And by the way, I do this for nonprofits and municipalities as well, because all businesses, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit, they're paying expenses for services they need to operate. And I mentioned a few just a moment ago, things like phones and internet service and garbage pickup. You know, most businesses have some sort of credit card processing terminal. And they may be shipping packages out to customers and so on. So these are necessary services, but they don't necessarily add a lot of value to the business. In fact, they can be a a big drag on the bottom line. And in most cases, you know, the vendor kind of holds all the power in that relationship. But I am completely independent of the vendor. In fact, sometimes when the vendors see me coming, they kind of get nervous because they know that I only represent the interests of my client. And, you know, that it means that their days of overcharging are history. And of course, you know, most of the time I'm able to achieve clients some cost savings without even needing to switch vendors. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of brokers and vendors out there that really do a fantastic job. And, you know, they can save you money, but they really have a different sort of incentive. Their incentive is to get you to buy something new or to switch your carrier or switch to a different service. And I am 100% vendor agnostic. You know, I only recommend what's best for my clients. And my incentive is completely different because I get compensated from a percentage of the verified actual savings that I find for the client. And that's only after the client has reviewed my recommendations and agreed to move forward. So there's no way that I can possibly hurt the bottom line for my client. And if I do not find any savings, which is rare, but if I don't, then the client doesn't pay me anything. So there's no risk for the client at all.
And, you know, when I use the term broker or vendor representative, I mean, that's really a fancy way of saying someone who's really conflicted, right?
Yeah, kind of, because, I mean, you know, I know brokers and I know representatives, and I know that they do care about their clients for the most part. But at the same time, you know, their bread is getting buttered by the vendor that actually supplies the service. That's where their money is coming from. So, you know, that you have to kind of follow where the money comes from to know whose interests are really being served.
And again, you're getting paid solely by the client. The business that you work for, or nonprofit, or what have you, that your organization that you work for, and so that's, again, like you say, where the money rolls, and follow the money, and that's that explains where your motivations lie.
Exactly. We bill our clients for a percentage of the actual savings that we find, and our clients get a, you know, very detailed report, very detailed understanding of what they're saving every month versus what they were paying before. And, you know, because our compensation is a percentage of their savings, it means that our interests are lined up in lockstep with the client's interests.
Folks, we're here chatting with Matt Wagner, and Matt is with Schooley Mitchell. Matt, talk a little bit about the nature of these expenses. One of the things that strikes me about as I listen to you talk is that these are, waste disposal is not so complicated, maybe. But these are vendors where the business owner, they don't pay attention to what's going on in the market for these services. And there may be new entrants, there may be different changes in service levels, pricing, and they can't keep up with all this, it strikes me. And that's really where you come in, right?
Yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, most businesses, they set up a service at the time that they get rolling. They may make changes as they expand or as they contract or add locations. But for the most part, these are the kind of, you know, set it and forget it type of services. But as you mentioned, you know, the world of telecom in particular, but also all these other categories, it's dynamic. Things are always changing. Even waste, you know, the types of waste that can be recycled, and what type of, you know, redemption value is available for those items, that changes all the time based on market fluctuations. So it really is worthwhile for companies to review these things regularly. And that's another part of the service that we provide. It's not just a one and done type of thing. We, you know, on a moving forward basis, we continually review our client services to make sure that they're aware of and well positioned to take advantage of any kind of fluctuations in price or features that might be available. And, you know, to your point too, like, you know, there are a lot of companies that try to do this themselves. But it, generally the results are poor, and really, you know, the essential reason is that, you know, businesses are even shorter on time than they are on money a lot of the time. And, you know, particularly small, medium-sized businesses where people are wearing lots of different hats. And so, you know, the task of analyzing these services line by line is very time consuming. And, you know, most of the time, the customer service for these services is unfortunately kind of painfully slow, and you may not get very far with them. You know, and if you spend an hour of time on the phone with the garbage company, you know, that's an hour of time that you're not spending generating income for your business or tackling other types of cost reduction for your core inputs like labor cost or material cost. So that's really where we come in.
Let's talk a little bit about you and a little bit about your background. Talk about your journey and kind of what has led you down the path to Schooley Mitchell and working with businesses the way you do.
Sure. Well, I grew up in New England, which, you know, may seem like kind of a nebulous place to folks living in the South, but specifically, I was born in Southern Connecticut, which I have to distinguish Southern Connecticut from the rest of New England because it's really kind of an appendage of New York City. It's very urban. And Maine is where I spent most of my growing up. And Maine is very, very different. Pace of life is much slower. People are, you know, kind of these rugged, outdoorsy, no-nonsense type of folks. They're very skeptical of outsiders. They're very skeptical of city folks. And when I moved to Maine, you know, I was an outsider. I was from away. That's the term that they use. You were from away. So it's a big culture shock. Moving there, I was 8 years old when I moved there, and I was very much aware that I was not from there. But then, you know, I went on to actually was an exchange student in Japan for a year during high school, and that was the next big culture shock in my life, and that really kind of shaped the direction of my future career, because after Japan, I went on to study history and East Asian studies from Wittenberg University, which is out in Ohio. And that's kind of, you know, that was another big culture shock going from New England to the Midwest. But I ended up settling in Ohio, met my wife there. We had three kids there. I got my MBA from the Ohio State University. Probably shouldn't mention that too loudly around here, especially in light of this past weekend's events. You know, my family and I, we moved to Georgia a little over a year ago. My wife got a great opportunity to be the Southern director of a nonprofit agency that organizes international student exchange. And, you know, we were ready for a new adventure. I left my job in Ohio, took a little bit of time to redefine my career priorities. I came here right before the pandemic, so that created a lot of interesting challenges and opportunities. And I, you know, really, I started my Schooley Mitchell franchise because I felt like it was a great opportunity. Number one, because so many businesses are struggling with, you know, how to save money right now, and I knew that I had something that I could offer them based on my work background. For 22 years, I was. I worked in Japanese manufacturing operations in the U.S., and that's where I was able to really kind of use my experience living in Japan. You know, when I went to Japan, I was the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed white person that most of my classmates had ever met. It was a very, very formative experience. I didn't speak any Japanese when I went there, but by the time I left, I could read, write, and speak fluent Japanese, and that really helped me in my career. I worked for Panasonic for 4 years, and then I took a job at a major automotive supplier that was affiliated with Honda. And you know, if anyone has ever spent time in a Japanese organization or read about Japanese manufacturing, you know that one of the key concepts is Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. And it really has helped Japan to elevate its competitiveness in the world of manufacturing, you know, especially automobiles, is a great example. And there's several great automotive companies, Japanese automotive companies here in Georgia as well. But Kaizen really boils down to the idea that, you know, if you make small incremental improvements consistently over time, it's going to lead to breakthrough results. And that's also the same concept that James Clear talks about in his book, Atomic Habits. Some of your listeners might be familiar with that. But I knew that I could take this type of background and I could really apply it to, you know, cost reduction consulting for businesses.
Yeah. And for small and medium sized businesses, you know, having a continuous look in on expenses is often not part of the business. I guess their way of doing business, right? There's so many other focuses inside the business, but not as in that way, right?
Exactly. I mean, every business has sort of their core inputs. And if you're in a service industry, for example, you're an accounting office and you hire CPAs, labor costs is going to be a big part of your core input. If you're a restaurant, then you're buying materials, raw materials to make food, manufacturing, you know, same sort of thing. Plus you may have depreciation for equipment. And most of the time, business owners and managers are focused on those sort of core inputs, and they just assume not have to waste time on these other, you know, services. And so there really is a lot of lost opportunity, but the, you know, it's kind of like, if you had only a limited amount of time, you'd probably rather focus on the things that you know best. You know, people don't get into business because they just really love talking to the garbage company, right? Most of the time.
Right. Most of the time. That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk about how you work. I mean, someone that's convinced, hey, I need to engage Matthew. I mean, how would an engagement with you start, or a conversation with you start, and how would that unfold?
Sure. You know, the first thing that we would do is we'd have a briefing of about 20 to 30 minutes where we'd sit down and just kind of get to know the business a little bit and understand what types of costs that they have. And at that point, you know, there's never any risk to the business because, again, it's everything is based off, you know, the opportunity for saving. So we would start with this briefing, and then that would lead to a service agreement, which basically just gives us the green light to go ahead and perform our analysis. And, you know, we do a very detailed line by line, item by item analysis of bills and contracts. And we have an analysis team that has been doing this type of work for over 22 years. And they're industry experts in one specific category, and they know the marketplace better than anyone else. And they take the time to analyze your bills and contracts with a fine-tooth comb, and they find any place that you're spending more than you should. Plus, they have at their disposal a massive database of pricing, and they have the purchasing clout of more than 23,000 other clients throughout North America. And we have proprietary software that checks for errors and things like that. So that analysis takes about 4 to 6 weeks. And that's after the client has provided us, you know, the information we need to do the work. And then at that point, we'll come back with recommendations. And the client always has the final say over any recommendations. We don't make any kind of changes to their services without their express direction to go ahead. And if they agree with our recommendations, then we go ahead and we implement those things on their behalf. And then we will give them, you know, regular reports on what they're saving. And also, we continue to provide recommendations on an ongoing basis if we find new opportunities for savings. And then they will pay us a percentage of the savings for a period of time. And then at the end of that period of time, they keep all of those savings for themselves. So it really ends up being kind of an everybody wins situation. And as I said before, there's no possible way that we can hurt their bottom line. Hmm.
Now, you talked a little bit about the kinds of expenses and vendors that you work with or that you help with in terms of, you know, controlling those costs. What are some of the kinds of clients that you work with? Talk about that. What clients are good fits for you?
Sure. Well, I have a great client here. I won't mention names just due to our confidentiality agreements,
of course.
But we have some great clients that are providers of landscaping services or construction services, renovation. The client that installs hidden fences for keeping pets inside your yard. So service companies, construction companies, you know, construction sites generate a lot of waste. And, you know, even things like porta potties, we would consider to be waste. I mean, it's pretty much waste by any stretch, but, you know, we can also help them reduce those costs. Mm. But manufacturing companies are also great clients because there's generally a lot of waste that's generated from that. And also telecom, you know, every business, particularly companies that have invested in technology, they use a lot of data. They're generating a lot of data and they're using a lot of data in their manufacturing processes. So all of that requires telecommunications, whether it's fiber optic internet or whether it's mobile devices and tablets, things like that. So manufacturing companies are some of our, where we found some of the best savings. But, you know, even service providers like doctor's offices, dermatologists, chiropractors, a lot of payments are processed using credit cards. And there's also medical waste, of course, that comes out of those offices. So that's another area we can really achieve some great savings. I've mentioned CPAs and attorneys' offices and other financial services type of industries, financial planners. It's really kind of it's a very wide open field. But you know, if you can think of a business that, you know, somebody that you know that has a business, or you know, your neighbor has a business, or the businesses around you, I mean, chances are that those companies can use the service that I provide.
Well, Matt, this has been great. And I'm sure that there are probably some folks that you've got them thinking as they listen to you talk. So let's get to the most important question, which is how they can be in touch with you if they'd like to do that.
Absolutely. So they can contact me by a number of different ways. Email is matthew.wagner@schoolymitchell.com. And Schooly is spelled like school, E-Y, Mitchell, MITCHELL.com. So matthew.wagner@schoolymitchell.com is my email address. I can be reached by phone at 678-816-2244. That's 678-816-2244. And they can also go to my website, which is schoolymitchell.com/mwagner. schoolymitchell.com/mwagner. Those are probably the best ways to get a hold of me. Very responsive. So whether it's email, text, phone, or an inquiry on my website, I'll be sure to get back with them very quickly.
And you can work, one more quick thing though, you can work, I mean, you're in the North Fulton area, but you can work with clients anywhere, I assume.
Yes, exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up. I have essentially no geographic limitations within the US and Canada. Mm. And I know there are some companies that do have operations in Canada as well as in the US locally here. So that doesn't pose any issue to me. As a matter of fact, I have clients here in Georgia. I have clients in Ohio and in Virginia. Some prospective clients right now in Alabama and other places as well.
Oh, great. Matthew Wagner, folks, with Schooly Mitchell. Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
thank you, John. I really appreciate having me on. And I love North Fulton. It's a great place to do business.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Folks, just a quick reminder, if you've got some other task that you should not be spending time on, and that involves administrative tasks or bookkeeping or maybe doing some social media or marketing or what have you, I've got an answer that involves picking up the phone and calling my friend Essie Escobedo. And Essie is the chief executive angel over at Office Angels. And she's got a whole team of angels that work virtually, and they fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as-needed basis. And they've been working virtually for 20 years, Essie and her angels. So a pandemic environment does not scare them or cause them any angst. So give her a call, 770-442-9246. If you're shy and timid, go to their website, officeangels.us, and check it out there. But I would just encourage you to call Essie and explain your problem, and she'll hook you up with the right angel or send you on to another place. But she typically has somebody that can help get some of those things off your plate that need to be off and have someone else doing them for you. And I endorse her personally because I use her services. So she's terrific, and I think you'll find that if you give her a call. This is another reminder as we roll along here. You can find this show on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term. We'd love it if you would subscribe, give us a great review, a five-star review. It's not about us. It's about our guests. It helps people find the show so that people that are looking for the services of Matt Wagner and others that we've had on the show over these almost 5 years, they can be found. So we'd appreciate that. And you can also connect with us on social media. North Fulton BRX is the handle on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Matt Wagner, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.